a little boy who lived out in the country, and this was around the turn of the century, back when Ron was a little boy. And he had never seen a traveling circus, and there was one that was coming to town on Saturday. And so the young man asked his father for permission to go and see it. And the father said he could, but father let him know he had to get his chores done early if he wanted to go. So the Saturday morning comes, and he finishes his chores, and he goes to the father and asks him if he might have some money so he could go to the circus. And I've ever seen him reached into the pocket of his overalls, and he produced a $1 bill, and this was more money than the child had ever seen in his life. And so he's all excited, and he goes off to see this circus that's coming. And as he came to the town, he saw people lining the streets, and looking through the line at one point, he could finally get a glimpse of the parade as it was coming to town, and there were animals in cages, and there were marching bands, and finally, there was a clown that was bringing up the rear of the line, and the little boy was so excited when the clown passed, he took that little dollar and gave it to him. And thinking that he had seen the circus when he had only seen the parade, the little boy turned around and went home. And the observations made of how sad it is that some people come to church just like that little boy. They come to see the circus, but all they end up doing is seeing the parade. They come with the intent to worship God, but again, all they do is see the parade. They see the parade of singing hymns, the parade of the time of prayer, the parade of hearing the preaching of the word. And all through that time, they watch the activity, and then 12 o'clock comes, and off they go to eat and leave. And all the time, they think they've been in God's house, but truly, they've really missed the main event. They've missed having a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. It's so interesting that Ginger chose that song. I hope that's all of our prayer, that we come to be filled with the presence of God. And I love that line, to be overcome with his presence. But unfortunately, so many people go to church and they see the parade, but they miss the main event. They miss out on that encounter with Jesus. And so today is Palm Sunday, and the Sunday when Jesus rides to go ahead to Jerusalem. In preparation, he told two of his disciples to go ahead of the rest of them, and there would be a colt that nobody had ever ridden, and they were to tell the owner that the Lord needs it. They were instructed to bring the colt to him so that he could ride into Jerusalem. This was done. It was to fulfill the prophecy of what the prophet Zechariah wrote in chapter 9, verse 9. Zechariah wrote, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And so I understand this is very significant. As I share with the children, Jesus and disciples walked everywhere they went. And this is the only time in Scripture that Jesus rode into a town. And again, he always walked, but not this time. So he had to do that, one, to fulfill this prophecy of Zechariah, but also by riding in, Jesus is making a statement. Jesus is claiming his role. Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the King of the Jews. He was riding in as a king. And that's, you know, countries, they would go off to war, and they would, when the king would return victorious, they would ride in, and there would be big parades and acknowledgement. Well, Jesus is riding in as a conquering. He's the conquering king. And he's letting the people know, yes, I am the king, and the people are lining the streets of Jerusalem. There's excitement, there's celebration, they're shouting, they're dancing, they're singing. They're excited for this spectacle that's occurring. Matthew 21:9 says, "And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" So picture what's happening here. It's this great event. it's just this parade, and you know, I was kind of thinking about that, what parade looks like. You know, if you Thanksgiving, if you get up early enough to watch the Macy's parade, you see all those people, you know, packed along the street to see the parade come down the street, and they're excited, they're smiling, they're happy, and it's this big occasion. And that's what's happening here. The people are getting into this parade, and they're celebrating, and they're yelling Hosanna, and there to see Jesus arrive in Jerusalem. And so there were many there who were happy and excited to be there, but there were also some there who were not. There were people there that didn't want Jesus. They didn't care for his coming. And the entire city stirred up, and you had the Romans there on guard. But remember the timing of this. This is the beginning of the Passover celebration. And so for the Jewish people, this is a great time of celebration that they come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. They're celebrating all the miracles that God had done that allowed for them to leave Egypt and no longer be slaves, but to be have their freedom. So there are many people here caught up in all this excitement. They're anxious just to get a glimpse at this Jesus who's coming in. But again, there were also faces that were not happy to see them. There were the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They were certainly there in attendance. And they were, if you remember, the Sadducees and Pharisees were the spiritual leaders. They were supposed to be the keepers of the law. But Jesus had gained this great popularity, and so they felt threatened by him. They were looking on at Jesus coming in with hatred, with jealousy. And as always, they were waiting for Jesus to slip up. They were waiting for him to make one mistake so they could catch him, so they could have something on him. And of course, Jesus never sinned, never gave them the opportunity. But as we'll find out very soon, in the history of that week, they did discover a weakness, and that was the weakness of Judas and his desire for money. And so you had the Pharisees and Sadducees there, and certainly also there were Romans there. And the Romans there, because they were concerned. You had all these Jews entering in the city, and they're all there in these large numbers to celebrate. But the Romans would be concerned that there might be rioting, or they would revolt. And so they were there to watch and look for any signs of rebellion, because it would be their job to make sure that didn't happen, that they would crush any uprising. And of course, as Jesus is entering in, he understands what's going on. He fully understands everything that was happening. And so Jesus hears them crying out in these voices, Hosanna, Hosanna. But he knew in just a matter of days, those same voices would cry out, Crucify, Crucify. Or they would just stand by and say nothing at all. As Jesus was descending the road, coming down from Mount of Olives, he stopped. And of course, that was probably curious to a lot of people, trying to figure out, what's he doing? Why is he stopping? You know, maybe he's going to say something. Maybe he's stopping to talk. Or maybe somebody had touched his garment and been healed. Or maybe he was stopping to heal somebody. But they knew something was happening when he stopped. But if you were there and could have seen Jesus' face, it certainly would have told the story. It would have said it all. Because the smile that was on his face when he entered and saw all these people would have been gone, and it would have been replaced by a look of pain. And then that pain would turn into real sorrow. And then that pain would produce tears. And Jesus stopped and he wept for the people. Luke records this in his 19th chapter. Begin verse 41, Luke writes, And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation." See, Jesus knew fully well what was going to happen. He knew what would transpire, what would happen to these people. He knew that Jerusalem would be laid to waste by their enemies. And so what started out seeming like this great day for Jesus and the disciples, now we see Jesus stop. We see him weeping over the city. And these disciples who are with him, after 3 years of Jesus preaching and teaching, the healing, the miracles, everything they shared with him, and here they are, they still don't get it. Disciples still don't get it. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew it. He understood what was happening, what was going to happen. And not only the thought of the present reality, but of knowing the future reality, knowing what was coming, knowing that these people who were there yelling Hosanna would one day reject him. It broke his heart. It brought him to tears. Now, some might wonder, well, why would Jesus cry if he knew what was going to happen? Well, think about this. You ever watch a movie, it brings you to tears. And you can watch it again, and you know it's going to happen. You'll cry again. Let me tell you something. I will never watch Brian's Song again. Ain't happening. You know, as I grew up, and of course I'm aging myself, but I knew that story so well. I was a huge Chicago Bears fan, Brian Piccolo. We watched it play out on the news. I remember when he died. And then I remember the first time I watched a movie, I bawled like a baby. And I guarantee you, in the times I've watched since, I've done the same thing. I won't watch again. Because I will cry. I know what's going to happen. I know the story backward forward, but it makes me cry, right? And so I think that's Jesus. He knows what's going to happen. But it breaks his heart knowing these people will reject him. We need to remember Jesus was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. Jesus had the same emotions that we did. And he was greatly sad and he was greatly burdened and it brought him to tears. He wept because he recognized this people as a people who had eyes and did not see. This was a people who had ears but did not hear the message. They were missing it. They missed the message of God. And here, right now, in this time and place, they were in the physical presence of God and they didn't get it. They didn't get it and they missed out. See, they were expecting a great king, a great conquering king. They were expecting this king who would lead their nation into war and defeat the Romans who were their oppressors. They were expecting this king who would lead them into freedom, that would make Israel once again a great nation, nation of military might, a great nation of economic status. That's what they were expecting. That's what they wanted. But they didn't understand Jesus. They didn't understand the Messiah. They didn't understand his mission. And because of the misunderstanding, because they didn't get it, Jesus wept. These were God's people. This was God's chosen people. God loved them. There's no question his great love for them. He brought them out of slavery. He took them across the desert. He brought them into the promised land that he had given them. But they did not understand the Messiah even when he walked in their midst. And again, Jesus heartbroken wept. And so who was this Jesus riding in town? Jesus was the Prince of Peace. He was the great Messiah riding through the streets of Jerusalem. He's the Redeemer, the Savior of the world. They could reach out and touch him. And they missed him. They missed him. And unfortunately, so many people are like that day. They want God on their terms. There are people in churches all over, and they're going to miss Jesus today. And even though he's right there in their midst, you know, we sing this wonderful hymn, Holy Spirit, fill this place. God is with us. He's here in this place. His Spirit is alive and well in this place, and he's alive and well in the hearts of those that know him. But there are many sit in church and they miss it. They miss it. Even though he's right there to where you could touch him. The people want God on their terms thing too, right? They wanted a conquering king to ride into town to take care of everything, to allow Israel to rise up. But they didn't get a conquering king. They got a suffering savior. They wanted a ruler, but they got a servant. Jesus said, I come not to be served, but to serve. So they received a servant. They wanted a mighty king to come in with a throne and a crown. And what they got was a king with a crown of thorns. They didn't understand. Jesus came to liberate them. He came to liberate their souls and not their cities. Jesus came to deliver them from eternal punishment of sin, not from an earthly dictator. Jesus came to conquer death, hell, the grave, and defeat armies. But Jesus came to defeat the armies of darkness, and not the Roman army. Like so many people today, they were living in the here and now. They were concerned about their circumstances at that time. They wanted to be free from oppression. If they just recognized who's in their midst, who would free them for all eternity, free them from sin, to defeat death, hell, and the grave. And so Jesus wept for them, saying, if you only knew, if you only knew, things would be so different. Things would be different, but because you missed, you're headed for destruction. And I'm here, I'm trying to save you. God sent me to you, but you don't recognize the day of my visitation. Again, these were God's chosen people. But they did not understand or accept the Messiah when he was right there in their midst. And Jesus wept. And he could look out and see the temple of God. But he could also see beyond to the future years when the Jews would revolt. And he could look ahead to see when the temple stones would be taken down, the city leveled. And he could look ahead and see where thousands would die as the temple would be destroyed. All that could have been avoided if they had believed in Jesus. All that would come because they failed to recognize the Messiah when he came. They were promised the Messiah. They were promised a conquering king, and they didn't recognize it. How different their lives could have been. How different the history of Israel could have been if they had only recognized the one who came riding into town that day on that donkey. Jesus wept for that people. But you know, I believe it goes beyond Jerusalem. I believe Jesus looked out that day and saw all the people who would reject him. And I think he weeps today. He weeps because we gather in church houses. People gathering with shouts of Hosanna. But in so many ways, his people have turned their backs on them. Just like Jerusalem, just like the Sadducees and Pharisees. We have our religion. We have our churches. But we're missing God's presence in the midst of it. And Jesus looks out today and he sees the abuse, the addiction, the sin that runs rampant through our society. He sees lives torn apart. kids, without families. He sees empty hearts. He sees the pain. He sees those that rape, he sees those who take their lives. He sees those who divorce. He sees those that are addicted to pornography. He sees those who living lives of hopelessness. He sees all that in society and he weeps over it. You think when Jesus looks down at LaFour's, he weeps? Does he cry out to the words of verse 42 to us? Would that you, even you, known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. Those who were there wanted to anoint Jesus as king. They cried out, Hosanna. But again, how quickly, in a few days' time, those very cries would turn into crucify him. So as Jesus looked out into these faces in the crowd, Jesus who rode in as the hero of the day, there he was weeping at the knowledge of what would become these people. And this morning, as he looks across our room this morning, he comes to us to offer complete forgiveness to anyone who will ask and who will receive it. He's extending this amazing gift of grace to anyone who will accept it and seek forgiveness. And listen, if you're here today and you have received that gift, if you are a child of God, that's great. Amen. But are you truly living the life he wants you to? We need to ask ourselves, what does Jesus see when he looks our way this morning? For us here in this room, we might have sang along these hymns of praise. But we need to ask ourselves, have we truly made him King of Kings in our heart? When he looks at you, does he see a dedicated follower? Or does he see a deceiver like Judas? My friends, we have a powerful God, and he sent his son to come and save us. And he extends to us through his grace, offer of peace, his love, his power. It's a question for everyone here is, have you asked Jesus to be your Savior? Have you asked Jesus to change who you are? And it's my hope and prayer this morning as we conclude, as we get ready to go into a time of invitation. If there's anyone here today that has not confessed their sin, that has not sought Jesus as Savior, that you would do that. But I also hope and pray that if there's one here today that has placed their faith in a time when they walked an aisle, they said a prayer and got baptized, that you examine yourselves. That you examine yourselves and know that you have a relationship with the risen Savior. Let's pray.